good morning, Professor Jonathan Stone, professor of the University of Sydney. Thank you very much and welcome to SBS program in Hebrew and English. I invited you to speak to me and to the listeners about your role as the head of Sir Zelman Cowan University's fund. Let's say, hearing from you about this very unique university's fund.
Yeah, so it was set up in 1978 by Sydney businessman John Hammond. And he and his brother had come to Australia presciently in the late 1930s, so they escaped the Holocaust. But they came as poor boys in a new land, and both of them in their different ways did extremely well. Towards the end of their lives in the 1990s, they endowed trust that would last after them, or John Hammond did. But John also had a vision. He wanted to benefit both the University of Sydney and the Hebrew University, and he got those arrangements in place. And since 1978, we've been able to provide funds for research at both universities. This workshop of last week, the week before last, was the latest in our activities. But every year we fund academic exchanges, student exchanges, a prize, and quite a number of other activities. We fund research too from time to time as our resources permit. And over those years, which is something like 40 years now, I guess we've provided $5 or $6 million to each university. And finally, before I finish on that point, recently the fund has been endowed sufficiently to carry this work on indefinitely into the future. So that's been
Achievement
of the fund,
right,
in terms of making this collaboration long-lasting.
40 years you could see research in a range of disciplines in both universities. And can you, as a professor of medicine, can you elaborate on success stories from the treatment of burns and infection to management of maturity onset diabetes?
Yes, yes. So the work that we've supported has been largely in medical science, but not entirely. We've supported quite a number of scholars in the area of Semitic studies, and a lot of support has gone to the University of Sydney's Department of Study of Hebrew and Semitic Studies, the important department in this area. So it's not entirely restricted to medical research. In medical research, for the first 20 years or so, John Hammond made the allocations to research people he was impressed with, and they included the management of burns. These were people working on what you would now call tissue regeneration. That was successful work. It contributed to the major advances we see now worldwide in the management of deep burns. In the 1990s, we launched an initiative called the Alzheimer's Disease and Inflammation Initiative, and that has resulted, and it took 10, 15 years, I believe, in the really the discovery of the cause of age-related dementia of Alzheimer's disease in the effect of vascular aging on the cerebral pulse driving the damage to the brain that appears as the plaques and tangles pathology of Alzheimer's disease. I think that's a major achievement. The fund has supported a series of studies on stem cell biology and tissue regeneration, which have contributed to their fields without, you know, one study doesn't make a revolution, but it's been a broad effort over a number of areas, and the thing that John Hammond himself knew is that if you don't do research, then these intractable diseases will remain intractable, and if you do, well, you just have to hope that the scientists at some point get it right, and we've had our share of successes. I'd like to put it that way, and they've been good successes.
You know, when you hear about collaborative fund that facilitates academia to research, do you see a group of professors on behalf of those funds going to Israel from University of Sydney and Israeli professors coming over to sit in labs and research together with counterparts?
Yes, indeed. And I initially thought that this just might not work, because for an Israeli scientist sitting in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or Haifa or anywhere in Israel, the great center of scientific research, or the great centers, lie to the west in Europe and America. The idea of going southeast and a long way southeast to get to Australia,
yes.
I thought it would be unlikely to happen. But in fact, with the exchanges that we've funded, there have emerged real collaborations. And from the workshop the other week, I've so far had three quite new inquiries of scientists who met there and said, look, would you consider funding this or that? And the answer is, of course, yes, you know, please get a document to us, and the trustees will consider it. So I have to say that as the workshop went on, there was a really high standard of work presented, and it was as strong on one side as the other. I believe that the commercialization had, on the whole, gone further on the Israeli side than on the Australian, but on the science and discovery side, there was equality, and that equality and high standard lay the basis for real collaboration. And it has been happening, and I'm sure it will continue now at a somewhat increased pace.
Amazing, yeah. Now, I attended the 2 days in Sydney. Sorry. I attended the 2 days in Sydney, and I was impressed with the diversity of disciplines. You collected and you put together the content of this 2 days workshop that, in fact, created the dream team from Israel working together with your dream team in Sydney on various subjects. Can you cover them for the listeners? And how did you work on a content so rich of subjects to explore people who came from outside to listen to the lectures?
Yeah, sure. So we had scientists in the area of, it depends how you describe it, but sometimes you call it plant science. But what it was people using plants as ways to generate useful molecules. So you could use plants to generate forms of elastic tissue which could repair the walls of arteries, but could repair tendons. And I mean, when I was struggling to put it together, I thought, well, I suppose we better get some really good plant biologists, get them in. When you use plants, you can use them in such diverse ways. That was fascinating. That was matched by one of the Sydney labs, which has worked on mammalian elastin with similar power and effect, developing, again, ways to craft and deliver elastin to damaged body tissues. One of the Israeli studies just was out on its own. It was a chemistry one. I recall that it was using just clever chemistry to develop an anti-pollutant that would, the example that the speaker used, it was Yoel Sasson, is if you have an oil spill on the desert, what do you do with it? They developed the chemistry to get rid of the oil with a residue that was basically water, and that's extraordinarily clever chemistry. Yeah.
Unique. Jonathan, I wanted to ask you about something that is becoming more and more a curiosity for Australians, is the technology transfer process. We know Yisum and many other companies in Israel that are taking the research from the shelf into creating a success story in business. We hear about Mobileye, we hear about other medical solutions. Can you elaborate on it? Because when I met Professor Rebecca Mason, who is now about finding the vitamin D in protection from sunlight, or enhancement of sunscreen action by agents which reduce DNA damage. How can you see such an amazing research making, for example, a major influence on audiences in sport events during the summer, for example?
So the question is that she's tackling can be expressed two ways. If you express it as fundamental science, it's a question of what's going on when sunlight hits skin, generates DNA, generates vitamin D, but also damages the DNA of skin cells and can induce cancer. What are the dose levels that are affected? What are the chemical pathways that produce the safe reaction? What are the chemical pathways that produce the malignant reaction, so very fundamental. But the talk that she gave was on ways that you might enhance sunscreens of various sorts to optimize the good reaction and minimize the DNA damage. And that's going beyond the simple use of emulsions like the current sunscreens and build new chemicals in them so that you enhance the protective reactions. And of course, as everyone knows, it melanomas induced by sunburn are a major avoidable form of death in this country. It's a very, very severe and bitter diagnosis to get. So that's the story, and it can be told both as a scientific story of elegance and as a commercial story of real possibility. And the thing we learned from both sides was that commercialization is not easy, and you have to have your intellectual property in place, and you have to have people willing to fund you, and you have to work jolly hard to... And it takes the scientist away from his or her bench to get that going. I was impressed, for example, by Professor Des Richardson from Sydney, who has been working for 25 years developing iron and copper chelation compounds that in one compound can attack the three... things that make cancer really difficult, which is, of course, their uncontrolled proliferation and their metastasis, and also the resistance that cancer gets to treating drugs by mutations. And he has just about done the whole trip from the idea through 25 years to establishing a company which has brought his prime product into phase one and phase two clinical trials, and we should all wish him well, because it's not specific to any one cancer. It's a broad-based thing, and there are some cancers, as we know, the melanomas, pancreatic cancer, ovarian cancer, which modern drugs still cannot really deal with. Although we heard also from one of the Sir Zelman Cowan Fund's prize winners, Dr. Georgina Long, about the immense difference that's being made with immune therapy in melanomas, really quite dramatic advances. But still... people are still dying of these.
Yes,
these,
and do you think that a positive result of such research, such advanced research like that, could become a success story business-wise to provide the future researchers with funds the way Yesum is acting at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, to create a company that will gain funds via... major medical solutions companies in the world and then bring back funds into research?
Yes, and it requires a particular vision, because scientists generally don't have even the commercial vision, the ability to commercialize things. They have specialized skills, but commercializing things and making money out of it is the entrepreneur's skill. But that extra step of saying we need a company that will make the money, that will feed back, that's an extra step. And I think any company in either place, and Yesum's a good example, any country in either country, in any country that can do that, will provide a boost to research, because at the fundamental level, research and discovery are limited by human brains and the ability for good brains to be recruited and brought to focus and bear on a problem. And that is a question of resources, and as you know, there are government funding and resources for that, the research councils, and there are already private foundations which support that. But to one which actually closed the loop more closely and said, let the discoveries fund the next generation of research, that's very special, and I'd love to see it developed at my university.
That's great. I would like to thank, on behalf of the listeners, Professor Jonathan Stone, Managing Trustee of the Sir Zelman Cowan University's Fund, And I wish you success. We finished really with the topic, commercialization of science. And I hope very much at your vision and, of course, the late John Hammond's vision will come to earth and make the future of scientists much easier. Thank you very much.
Thank you.